have been discussing the qualifications of a deacon, and we have two left. So I'm hoping to wrap it up next week. This week, we will be talking about the husband of one wife. In verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, says, let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the Word of God that guides us, that directs us, and helps us to understand our responsibilities. We do ask again that you would be with Yoselyn and her family. Show yourself strong in their lives. Help us as a church family to rally to her and to the family to the best of our ability. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Husband of one wife. Super controversial subject within the theological world. We started this section a long time ago. I spent some time talking about the qualification of a pastor in reference to this, and I want to very quickly kind of review this because it's important that we understand. And the question is, do the qualifications of a pastor deacon go to birth, or do they restart at salvation? That is the theological debate question that has been out in theology for centuries. Okay, does it restart, or does it restart at salvation, or does it go to birth? And this question has been really centered on only one of the qualifications, and that is this qualification: the husband of one wife. Now, the other qualifications of a pastor deacon all have to do with what? You tell me.
Conduct.
Okay, conduct or character. Okay, the person's character. Now, can a angry person become a non-angry person?
Yes.
Okay, yes, they can. Can a drunk become someone who's sober?
Yes.
Okay, they can, okay? I'm proof of that, okay? So there are character traits. All of the qualifications are character traits. And by the time we get done here, I beg to offer the argument that the husband of one wife is really more about a character trait than it is a physical act. Does that make sense? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. So, why is I want to be careful how I say this. Years ago, there was a man in our church. He has since moved away, but how do I want to phrase this? He felt like the only qualification that mattered was this one. The rest of them didn't matter. If you were the husband of one wife, then you were qualified to be a pastor. Okay, so right out of the gate, that's flawed thinking, for one thing, because God has given us a list of qualifications. Okay, but why is this particular qualification so controversial and so important?
You have person who has been successful in marriage to be able to tell other people how they can.
Okay. Now, how many of you that have been married more than 10 minutes know that marriage is hard? Okay.
What?
It is? Okay. It's hard. And to survive, well, you said 37 years? You know, it takes a certain character trait, right, to be able to deal through the the minefield. That's kind of a good analogy. Okay, why? Because you know, you're taking somebody, you're taking a man and a woman who are completely different beings. Okay, because men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Okay, right? Okay, they literally are. And then you bring that together, and then not only do you have two like completely different human beings,
but they have to live on Earth.
Yeah, and they have to live on Earth in peace together, and on top of that they have different personalities. Okay, so you have all of these things, so it is a critically important qualification for a pastor deacon, but it is not the only one, okay? And we've talked about several of them. I have a list here of things that are reasons why this particular qualification is important. One, it is a sign of sexual purity and faithfulness, okay? Super, super important. And we'll get into a little bit more of that in a minute. It's a character trait. The phrase husband of one wife, literally translated, if you were to translate it literally, it literally means a one woman man. Okay, and we'll dig into that here in a few minutes a little bit more. but it is a character trait, okay? It is a leadership quality, is it not? To be able to put up with, no, I'm teasing. no, seriously, it is a leadership skill to be able to guide a marriage through the difficulties of life, okay? One of the things that I tell young couples that I do premarital counseling for is that there are times in a marriage where the husband is just going to have to step up, put his foot down and say, I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is. And I call that playing the man card. Yeah, that's what I call it. But there are times where a man just needs to do that. But I always tell the young men, I said, be very careful how often you play that card. Because if you play it too often, it can backfire on you. But be sure when you play it that whatever you're doing, God is in it.
That's the key.
So it is all about leadership. Another part of it is the ability to counsel troubled marriages. I think Conan said it. one of the mistakes that I've seen through my life, not just as a pastor, but before I was a pastor, oftentimes what happens when, particularly young couples, when they start having marriage problems, who do they go to? Well, they generally, most of them, go to their peers. Now, oftentimes, okay, I want to be careful here. What, generally speaking, why is that not a good idea?
Don't ask for directions.
there you go, okay? Or, quite possibly, is struggling with the very same thing, okay? So where should they be looking for, or to? Where, okay, they should be looking to older couples that have been married for 30 plus years. You know, okay, hey, just recently, I had a conversation with a young couple who've been married for just like 2 years, I think, and they're already using the divorce word. You know, and they have gotten to that point. And it is so important that if you can survive 30 plus years of marriage, then now you have not only the ability, but you have the responsibility to help younger couples. And then also the marriage is also a picture of Christ in the church, okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Stop right there, okay? Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, I mean, that is a self-explanatory passage right there, verse. Okay? There's no need for me to exegete that passage so that you can understand it. It's right there. That's how a husband is supposed to love his wife. Verse 26, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." That is the responsibility of the husband, is to treat his wife like Christ treats the church. Really, really simple. Christ will never divorce his church. Why? Because he died for it. He wouldn't have died for the church. And when I say the church, what am I talking about? People. Okay, when Christ died for the church, he didn't do so thinking, "Boy, I hope they make it so we don't," you know. No.
"I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee."
There you go. "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Many believe, and I'm throwing this out here because I believe this for a very, very long time. But many believe that any divorce destroys the picture of Christ in the church, okay, and that is a very strong picture, okay. Please understand this. It is a very strong picture, and I know men that I respect beyond respect. People, men that I just love and adore, that believe that this qualification goes back all the way to birth. Okay? I would never argue with them. I would never argue with them. But I disagree with them. And this is why I believe my position, if you would, on this particular issue has changed, and this is why. And I went to the Bible. Let me rephrase that. I did talk to several pastors to get their opinions and their viewpoints, but I came to this decision based on what the Bible taught me. And let me share you what the Word of God says. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And ye hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay, so let's stop right here. And let's talk about this word quickened. This word quickened means to be made alive. So if what is the qualification for something to be made alive?
Has to be dead.
Okay. So, and it says it here, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So it is Christ who brings to life. Okay. Verse 2, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also ye all had our conversation, our lifestyles in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath he quickened us together in Christ. By grace are you saved. So again, this quickening is a supernatural event that takes something that is dead and makes it alive. Okay, are y'all with me? Okay, so before salvation, what is a person? They're dead in their sins. So after salvation, then what happens? We become alive in Christ. Okay. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism of death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what?
Newness
of life. For if we were planted together in the likeness of death, his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. So what part of us is crucified? The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one die for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, or as a result of everything I just read, as a result, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, let's do the Greek on this. What is the Greek word all? What does that mean?
All.
Okay? All things are become new. So, that is why those passages and a few more, based on those passages, I believe all of the qualifications restart at salvation. Because spiritually, do we not restart at salvation?
Yes.
Okay. So, question. Is divorce the only disqualifier for a pastor deacon?
No.
No. Okay. Obviously, there's other qualifications, but the husband and one wife issue is, within the context of the husband and one wife issue, is divorce the only disqualifier?
No.
No. Okay. What are some of the other disqualifiers?
Infidelity.
Infidelity. What else? Remember, I said, and we're going to dig into it a little bit here in just a minute, this issue of the husband of one wife, even though it's a physical act that we do, we marry someone, okay, it has more to do with the character of the man than it does the physical act of the man. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's not necessarily about the actual marriage, but it's about the character of the man who is married. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, infidelity is a huge problem. Yes?
I'm going to bring up a controversial one and say pornography.
Pornography is a major one.
Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Already, yes. Absolutely. Pornography is a huge problem, not just within men in our society today, but men in the church. Statistics, if statistics are true, okay, which I believe statistics are, in a church the size of our church, there are probably 20 to 30 men who are actively watching and looking at pornography. Just saying. And if you're doing it, shame on you. Yes. I'm sorry? Well, yeah, but yeah, you're right. It is also a problem among the female sex as well. But pornography is a huge problem. What about promiscuity? Okay. Is that a disqualifier? Absolutely, it is. Okay. What about polygamy? Well, number one, they're nuts, but
that's more than one.
Yeah.
More than one. Right. That is more than one.
Yeah. Okay, polygamy is, yeah, it's more than one, okay? It's two, three, four. Now, I have had people argue with me and say, well, and they always do this. They bring up David and Solomon and all these other idiots that had multiple wives. And they say, and this is what they say. They say, God said it was okay for them to do it. Why can't I?
He never said.
And that's the thing. He never, ever in the Bible okayed polygamy. Okay? So when these kings married these women, they were going against the will of God for their lives. Yeah, getting more headaches, and you know, I don't think they had Tylenol back then. I don't know, but they had to have something. I'm just saying. But seriously, God never approved it. In fact, in the case of Solomon, what ended up being Solomon's downfall?
All of his wives.
It says that his wives led his heart away from God. So he made, for a pretty smart guy, he made some pretty bad choices.
Education.
Yeah.
Education, totally.
Okay. So we only named four, but there are others. But can a man participate in any of those things and still be qualified to be a pastor or deacon?
No.
A friend of mine, well, before I go any further, let me read a couple verses and then we'll go a little deeper on this. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Again, it's a matter of the heart, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old, that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already. Where?
In his
heart. So, I have a friend, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it to all of this, but I'm going to try. I want to squeeze this in before we're done. This guy's name is Ken Sheets. Ken Sheets is a full-blown theologian. I mean, this when I have a question about particularly the Old Testament, I call him and say, "Help! What do I do? You know, what does this mean?" But anyway, he did a really, really deep dive on the qualifications of a deacon, and I want to read you. You know how really smart people, if they write, it's just pages and pages and pages of stuff. And it's just, anyway, that's how this guy is, okay? So I want to take just a small section of what he wrote, okay? And hopefully this will make sense to you. A married man who allows his attentions or his thoughts to rest on other women, or who allow himself to enjoy or seek attention or admiration of other women, promiscuity, seek to be attracted to them. He is a man of more than one woman. Why? Because of the heart. His attentions and desires for attention are not strictly limited to one woman. Rather, or not, he is actively pursuing this attention. This sort of interaction with other women will be noticed by his wife and others, leading to interpersonal conflict and the loss of respect of those under his oversight. An unmarried man who has never been married and remains available for marriage, whether or not he is actively seeking a wife. He makes a really good point here. He is a man of more than one woman. He is available to the opposite gender. Interactions are not strictly limited to one woman. Whether or not he is consciously seeking a wife, multiple women may regard him as eligible and distract him or interfere with his responsibilities and relationships to all under his oversight. So let me kind of give you a simple explanation of what he said. And trust me, I'm condensing pages and pages and pages into just one sentence. And this is it. The qualification of the husband of one wife is a battle that takes place in the mind. That if you take all of his writings, condense it into one sentence, that's it. It's all about the character of the man. So my closing statement is this: the battle is real. Okay? The battle is real. And too often we get this thing in our head that says, oh, I'm married. I've been married for X amount of years to the same woman, so I'm qualified to be a deacon. That does not, no. That's not it. It is about the heart or the character of the man. Okay? Any questions before we're done? Because we're done. We got one more qualification to go. Okay? I was able to get it in. Yes, ma'am.
So a man, if he is not married, he is not qualified to be a deacon.
Okay. You cannot be the husband of one wife if you're single. Okay. Okay. So, but what my friend did is he brings up the idea, and I agree with it, that even though a single person may be a good man, but he can't be a one woman man if he's not married. Okay.
He can't give marriage counseling.
Huh? Oh yeah, yeah. He can't give marriage counseling. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes.
I will put a little statement on that. There is a popular female author that wrote a book several years ago. If any woman wants to talk to me on my opinions on it, and she gave marriage advice while she was single in that book, and that is a problem because she is presented as a theologian. That's,
yeah.
Yes, you can interpret scripture, but
okay. I want to throw this out here, and I meant to mention it. I must have missed it in my notes, but another disqualifier would be homosexuality. Okay, you can't do it. Okay, yes.
This is actually a question I was going to bring up, and I recognize this is a controversial one. Is what about sexual man, like he may feel these things, but he has years, like he has washed his hands completely of engaging in that sin for years.
Okay. If that's a hard question because there's not enough information there to help me, you know, did he get saved before or after his homosexual encounters? There's just too much unknown in that question. But it is definitely a disqualifier for a deacon or pastor, okay? And also, it is impossible to be the husband of one wife and be a woman. Okay, not that I'm discriminating against women. I love women. I'm actually married to one very beautiful one. But the Bible says she can't be a pastor. Okay, she just can't. And she's probably thankful for that. You just can't do it. And the language is very, 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 very specific and clear. Okay, just can't happen. Okay, anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
So, what do you say to people who are like, "Oh, this is a specific letter to a specific church and not to all churches"?
This Timothy was written to an individual pastor. Okay, so it wasn't written to a church. And so that would kind of negate that argument because what Paul was doing is he was equipping this young man to go be a pastor. So, yeah. So,
and
yeah.
Theoretically, he would then also then train other pastors.
Right. And also, I mentioned it with the book in the book of Revelation, even though those churches, the letters are written to specific churches, they were all meant to be read by all the churches. And so all of scripture was written for all of us. Okay, so yeah, that's
there's some things that in the Old Testament that were specific.
Yeah, some of the Old Testament is specific to Old Testament, but for the New Testament it's fair game. Yeah. Okay. And that's a good question. Yeah, yes, sir.
I think something that will help make it simple is that a lot So you can say whatever you think the husband of one wife means, because it's debated, right? You know, if there's a character flaw, he's not blameless.
Right. Right. Yeah. And we'll kind of get into that hopefully next week a little bit. So, yeah. Okay. Anybody else? We're way over time. Yes.
Sorry. Just very quick. So if somebody's homosexual, let's say a man, and he left that lifestyle and he got right with God, he got saved and he got married, can then?
I believe he can. Yes. Oh. Yes. If he got saved after his homosexual lifestyle, he gets saved, gets married. Yeah, I believe he can.
But if he was saved and he did the...
Now let me say this, okay? And I know we're late, but please. Now, just because a person can be a deacon or a pastor because of this, they have to always remember that is always in their past. And it will affect their ministry moving forward. Does that make sense? So even though that they technically could be, a lot of times it may not be a good idea.
Especially nowadays.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your love and your guidance that you give us. We love you and thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Very quickly, the ladies' conference.